So, thank you for your teaching. What I heard, you know, is the word just happiness and what sort of leads to happiness. And one of the things that I heard early on when I first began practicing and hearing the Buddhist teachings was that sila, practicing sila, leads to the bliss of the blameless life. Mm-hmm. And that's the conditions for happiness, the conditions for samadhi. And I'm hearing this word boon, which isn't exactly translatable into English. And yet I know that feeling, you know, and just being here today, like, brings, I just feel so much happiness being here with the Sangha community and you know, in the ways that I can support the Dhamma and the Sangha. I know of no greater happiness. I want to sort of say, you know, when I'm with my granddaughter, there's something similar that it's just like there's the highest happiness, but this is, it's, there's no greater happiness. So I'm thinking of sila, and how when I first came into practice, I was really, you know, I use this word painstaking, but I mean it in a really wholesome way. You know, I was painstaking about practicing and studying sila. And so I really resonated with that, the bliss of the blameless life. And so out of that is a question, is that something in the suttas that's been translated for that the bliss of the blameless life?
Yeah. Anuvajja Sukha. That's, it's, yeah, the happiness of blamelessness. There's various elements of blamelessness that the Buddha points to, and part of it is through, say, like, experiencing the fruits of one's livelihood, or having perform general or shared, all of those are bases of happiness. But another element is that happiness of blamelessness, and it's directly related to sila, and then sila, it's helpful to reflect on the kind of nuances of sila, because often, especially from a, say, a Judeo-Christian background, we think of sila as morality and kind of, you know, having rules and being sometimes even being kind of tight about them or feeling restricted by them. But sila is this opportunity to rise up to a life of integrity. And that's a different quality. So, of course, there are certain kind of rules or moral precepts that the Buddha gives, but they're not. They're given in a way that, yeah, again, we have to engage in them, and then by having an integrity of action with intentions of non-harming and not taking advantage of anybody, there's this sense of well-being and happiness. So that sila becomes it's just such a strong base not just living a meditative life, but living a human life, and enjoying it, because it just is having an opportunity to not have harmed or taken advantage of anybody, lived a life of integrity, then there's just incredible well-being. Yeah, there's happiness of blamelessness. It's a so sila is a it's and also sort of looking at it as what how the Buddha presented sila is also as a training. It's a part of a training, so that we're using it not as a kind of a club to either beat ourselves up with because we don't live up to certain standards, or that we use it as a club for criticism of others. It's just no. This is an opportunity to train ourselves to live in a way that's just really skillful for our benefit and the benefit of others. And yeah, there's a happiness that comes from that.